Well, good morning, Red Chapel. Is everybody awake this morning? A few of you got 1 hour less sleep today. Not me. I went to bed an hour earlier last night, so that would be alive and awake this morning. I feel great. So if you don't, just pretend at least for about the next 30 minutes, give me a little bit of energy, and let's see what God would speak to us this morning. We're starting a brand new series today, and of all the series that I'll do this year, this one will probably be the most countercultural series that we'll jump into for the year. It definitely goes against probably most of our natural human instincts. We're talking about legacy. We're going to talk about living beyond today, about thinking about the future, about thinking about more than just me. I know our human tendency is to favor short-term expediency, to consume everything that we have, to leave nothing left over, to spend everything that you make, right? To live for today. After all, YOLO. You only live once, right? And so we're going to party like it's 1999, right? Like the end of the world is coming in 2000. Let's just spend everything we've got, leave it all on the field, and don't think about the future. We don't always consider the long-term consequences of the decisions that we're making. A lot of times we live life very short-sighted, very self-centered. I'll quit my job today because I just don't feel like going to work. I don't need to worry about the future. I don't need to worry about leaving anything for my family when I'm gone. And so for a few weeks, I want to talk about this idea of building and leaving a legacy. I really want to do my best for the next few weeks to help us change our mindset to one from being self-centered and short-sighted to one that is long-term and a generational mindset, thinking beyond just today, thinking beyond me, thinking beyond time even. We're going to get into this in the next couple of weeks, thinking beyond in terms of eternity even as we look towards the future. And I think the older I've got, this is something that I've begun to think about more. I've got kids that are teenagers now, and I think I've started to just contemplate and think more about the future, think more about the legacy that I'm leaving, that when I'm gone, I want to know what's going to be left. I want to build something that's going to outlast me. This is the way every generation ought to be thinking, that the things that I'm building, the things that I'm leaving, that they get better as time goes on. They get stronger as time goes on, as it progresses, that the next generation shouldn't have to start over. That each generation should be building upon the work of the previous generation. So every generation ought to be thinking of leaving a legacy that empowers and that positions future generations to go further, to do more than what we've done in our generation. I've got kids now, teenagers. My daughter is just going to graduate high school next year, and I want to be building a foundation for her life. I want to be leaving a legacy that she doesn't have to start where I started. My parents have done this for me. They started a whole new legacy for the young family, and today I'm standing on their shoulders. I'm reaching further. I'm going farther. And I want my kids to be able to do the same, that they're not starting all over, that I'm building something. Does this make sense this morning? I'm building something that they can go further than I've gone. Every generation needs to be thinking this way. And not just what we leave them materially. Proverbs says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. I was hoping he stopped at children. I was just thinking, God, just let my parents leave an inheritance for me. Here's why, because a good man, what he's saying is a good man doesn't just think about himself. He doesn't think about consuming everything on himself. He's not even just thinking about his children. Some of you may be getting to this stage in life now where you maybe have grandkids. You're starting to think three. You're starting to think three generations, not 3 days from now, not 3 years from now. You're starting to think generations from now. Proverbs says that's the way a good man thinks. In other words, he's thinking about his legacy. not just with material possessions. Like spiritually, I want to talk to us for the next few weeks about the legacy that we're leaving spiritually for future generations. When I think about spiritual legacies, one of the men that I think of is, and you know him, he's a renowned pastor today. His name is Joel Osteen. And today he's preaching to thousands, millions of people every single week. And what you may not know is you may not know the story of his legacy and how his parents went. They started a church, and the church, I don't think, ever even got over 1,000 people. But they were building a foundation. They left a legacy where today, Joel Osteen, God is using him and giving a platform to reach millions of people. Going in on weekends to places like Dodger Stadium and seeing thousands of people give their life to Christ. But he's standing on a legacy that was established by a generation previously. And I don't know about you, but that's the kind of legacy that I want to leave. I want to be thinking about my children and the spiritual legacy that I'm leaving them. And we're not to that point yet. And hopefully that's a few years away, but it's going to come eventually. But my children's children, I want to know that I'm building a legacy that they can go further and they can reach farther. And so that's what we're going to talk about the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about living beyond today. We're going to talk about living beyond time. We're going to talk about living beyond me. We're going to talk about living beyond our own human limited capacity and learning to rely on God. Some of you today, you may be first generation Christians. You may not have a spiritual legacy that you've been handed down, but I'm believing that God's going to use you to establish a new legacy, to establish what it looks like for a new family name, and to watch God build something great, something great. Some people die and they never even think about their legacy. They're so focused on being short-sighted and self-centered, they've never even considered the legacy that they're leaving for future generations. So I want to talk about this. I want to talk about leaving a legacy. And I think the best place to start if we're going to build a legacy is we have to start at the beginning. And so today specifically, I want to talk about laying a foundation for your legacy, about laying a foundation for your legacy. Now, I'm no contractor. I've never been involved in any type of construction. Some of you, you're in the construction business, and you probably know a lot more about this than I do. But what I do know is if you're going to build a house, that you don't start off by looking online at kitchen appliances. Right? You don't start out by picking out the furniture. Maybe your wife does that. Like, she's got her sight on what the furniture is going to look like and Maytag appliances or whatever the newest name brands are. That's not where you start when you're looking to build something. You start by laying a foundation. That's the first thing you do is you build the foundation. It's the same thing when it comes to building a legacy. The most crucial part is the foundation. It's the foundation. Jesus said it like this. He said, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows them, they're wise. He said, they're like a person who builds, watch this, they build a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise, the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching doesn't obey it, right? It's and they're foolish. They're like a person who builds house on a sand. In other words, they know what it takes to build properly, but they just disregard God's teaching. I think sometimes when it comes to legacy, people, I think they know what it looks like to leave a legacy, a good legacy, but they just disregard it. They don't have time for that. They don't have the time to carve out the foundation. He says, this person is like a person that builds their house upon the sand. And once again, because it rains on the just and the unjust, Jesus said that the rains and the floods, they come, the winds beat against that house, but it will collapse like a mighty crash. And when you're trying to build a life, when you're trying to build a legacy, Jesus is saying that the foundation matters, that it all starts with the foundation, that if you want your legacy to last, you have to build a strong foundation. You have to build a solid foundation. So I want to talk to you in just three ways that you can build a legacy that lasts, that you can build a foundation that not only you, but future generations will come along later that will build upon, and that when the rain falls, when the winds crash against what you're building, that it will stand. Long after you're gone, that it will stand. That future generations will rise up and recognize that what we're standing on today is something that was built on a solid foundation, that it will last. So if you're taking notes this morning, your handout this morning, I want you to write a couple of things down. I want to get practical with you this morning on how to build a legacy, about living beyond just today. Number one, I think when it comes to building, is the first thing you want to do is you want to plan ahead. Plan ahead. We have to look to the future. We got to think about what it is we want to accomplish. I don't know, maybe you haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this. I know life gets busy. You're focused on the here and now. You're just trying to get through the day. You're trying to get through this season of your life. And you haven't spent much time contemplating what it looks like that you're trying to build. If you want to leave a legacy, you're going to have to plan ahead. You're going to have to look into the future and think about what it is it that I want to accomplish. What do I want to leave behind? What kind of legacy do I want to leave to the next generation? We have to be willing to look beyond even our own lifetime and plan ahead. Some of you may have done this. You may have sat in a meeting with a financial planner. You may have written out a will and went through that process, and they begin to talk to you. And it's sometimes an uncomfortable conversation when you start talking about where your resources are going to go, what you're going to leave behind, who's going to get it. We don't oftentimes want to think about life beyond our own timeline. But if you want to leave a legacy, if you want to leave a legacy, you've got to plan ahead. I think the greatest scriptural example of this is David and his son Solomon. David, one of David's heartbeats was that he would one day build a temple to God. Up until David's time, the children of Israel worshiped in the tabernacle. And this was a temporary home for God. Literally, it was a massive tent that they would tear down and set up. It was like mobile church today. They would set up and tear down every week. It was the tabernacle. It wasn't nothing beautiful to look at. It was temporary. They would travel to a particular area. They would set it up. They would worship there. When it came time to move, they would move along. And David, he had such a heart for God and a heart for God's house that it was his heartbeat to build a permanent temple to God. He didn't want this just to be an ordinary structure. He wanted this to be the most beautiful building in all of the world. He wanted God to have the best, the finest. And so this is what he set out to do. But when David sinned against God and committed adultery with another woman outside of his wife, he had that woman's husband killed. God told David that he had too much blood on his hands and that he would not be able to erect the temple. But David wanted to leave a legacy. And this is what it looks like. Here's what David did. So David called together the foreigners living in Israel. He assigned them the task, watch this, of preparing finished stone for building the temple of God. David could have thought, well, I'm not going to build the temple. The dreams that I have are not, I'm not going to ever see those become a reality. So what the heck? I'll just consume everything that I have. David had all kinds of resources at his disposal. He said, I'm going to just consume it all on myself, live the greatest life now. But he chose not to do that. He chose to leverage all of his influence, all of his resources to help prepare the building of the temple for the next generation. So this is the way David lives out the end of his life. He gives orders. He calls together all the foreigners living in the land. He assigned them the task of preparing finished stone for the building of the temple of God. David provided large amounts of iron for the nails that would be needed for the doors and the gates and for the clamps. And he gave more bronze. David was very detailed about planning ahead. Like I said, you may or may have never done this. You may have never thought about your legacy and what you're leaving behind. David is so worried about the temple being built. about leaving a legacy. He's even worried about whether they have enough nails that will be involved. If they have enough, and I'm not that familiar with construction. Oh, a little bit though, but like, I know these are the details of construction. Like, did you go down to Home Depot or whatever wholesaler, maybe contractors use, and do you have enough nails? Do you have enough clamps to hold things? This is how detailed David is about planning ahead. Here's what it is. David wants to make sure that his future generation has everything they need to accomplish the task that God has given them. Have you thought about that lately? Have you thought about how you're preparing the next generation? Have you thought about the details in their lives and making sure, ensuring that they're equipped, that they're resourced to accomplish the task that God has given your family to the next generation? This is how detailed David is. He also provided innumerable cedar logs from the men of Tyre and Sidon and brought vast amounts of cedar to David. And David said, watch this. David said, my son Solomon, he's still young. He's still inexperienced. And since the temple to be built for the Lord must be, watch this, a magnificent structure. I don't know about you, but I want to leave behind a legacy that means something. That's what I want to leave behind. David said, the temple of God, this has got to be this magnificent structure. It's got to be famous, David said. I want it to be glorious throughout the world. He wanted the entire world to recognize this legacy, this building that he's building for God. And so he says, so, watch this, I will begin making preparations for it now. 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 I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to put it off. I'm not going to consume everything upon myself. I'm not going to just YOLO, just you only got one life. I'm not just going to live for today. Part of my time, part of my life is going to be ensuring that the next generation is equipped and resources to do what God, and I'm going to do it now. Some of you may have not thought about this, about the legacy you're leaving. I want you to know the best time to think about it is now, right now. Well, I'm still young, you know, I'm just having kids, or you may not even have kids yet. You know, I'm not really into that. Like, I just want to consume everything. I want to enjoy life today. Some of you may have even gotten older. You're going through maybe a midlife crisis and you've just decided my kids don't deserve anything and I don't want them to have any. So I'm just going to spend it all. David's like, I'm thinking about the future now. Now, I want to change your thinking over the next couple weeks. I really want to challenge you to begin to think generationally. And the truth is, this temple, it wasn't completed until a long time after David's death. During the reign of Solomon is when this temple was completed. But because David looked and planned ahead, he planned it, even past his own lifetime, he was a part of the building of the temple. The temple today is a part, not just of Solomon's legacy. Solomon's the one that built it. Solomon was there for the grand opening, but I guarantee you on that day, he recognized the work that his father had put in to make that day a reality. Because David was willing to plan ahead. A few years ago, 2016, we took one of our first family vacations out of the country. And my kids had gotten a little older now, felt like they could kind of appreciate history. And so we took our family trip to Rome. And so we had spent the first few days in Rome, seeing the Vatican, seeing some incredible architecture. I mean, you fall in love with the architecture there, hundreds of years old. Like, you don't see this in America. We're a relatively new country. But you go to Rome and you see these buildings, these structures that have stood for 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 years. And one of our stops on our tour was the Pantheon. And if you ever get the chance to go to Rome, you've got to visit the Pantheon. And I was awestruck as we started going through the Pantheon. They begin to give the history of the Pantheon, almost 2,000 years old now, this building. This building's been through wars. This building has been rummaged by the enemies that have come through and tried to take over the wars that the Roman Empire has been a part of. But as I walked through there, what shocked me, literally, it's awestruck to walk through, is there's still, you can see some of the green and red marble slabs of the foundation that were laid 2,000 years ago. And they had to bring these things. They didn't have the resources that we have today. They didn't have all the mathematics. They didn't have all the engineering science that we had today. But they built a structure that literally is visited by people all around the world, generations late. They weren't building something just for them. They wanted to build a temple that their family could worship in. And literally, it's a temple. It's a place where people come and they worship thousands of years later. The winds came. The rain fell. It beat against this, but it stood because today the foundation was rock solid. They were building it for future generations. The design was solid. In fact, one of the amazing things about the Pantheon is the dome and the way that they built the dome, even 2,000 years ago, in their ingenuity, they understood how to build the dome so that the weight was distributed properly so that it wouldn't crush the columns. It's amazing the way that these men and women thought thousands of, we're just trying to get through, we're just trying to pay the bills next month, right? We're just trying to get through the day to day. Many of us are not even thinking about the future generations, about building something that future generations are going to be able to enjoy, a legacy that will be remembered long beyond our lifetime. Thousands of years. In fact, today it's considered the best preserved building from ancient Rome. The foundation is still standing. Today, I want to ask you, how are you preparing for the future? How are you planning ahead? We need to plan our lives. We need to plan beyond our lives. This is a new type of thinking for some people. And the truth is, this is a God type of thinking. From the earliest of times, you read throughout the Old Testament, you get a glimpse of this when God begins to describe who he is. One of the first ways that he describes himself to his peoples, he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Some of us are thinking about 3 years. God's thinking about three generations. He's introducing this generational thinking. Maybe you could say like this, think three. Maybe that's the way you could plan ahead. Like, think three. How are you thinking about three generations? In Acts, when he talks about the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on you. It's going to be poured out on your young men. And then he says, it's going to be poured out on your sons, your daughter. He was always thinking, like, even as he's building the church and the way that the Holy Spirit is going to work, he's going to work through three generations. This is the type Proverbs. A good man provides an inheritance for his children's children. We're planning ahead. I want to challenge some of you, just practically speaking, to be planning ahead, to think three, to think not just about you and your family today and what that looks like, but your children. What's their look like for the future? What kind of spiritual legacy are you gonna leave behind? You may never even see the fruit of it, but what's it gonna look like three generations? I'm experiencing this in our family right now. My parents have built a legacy. They were first generation Christians. They started a whole new legacy in our family. If you went back 40 plus years from today, this is not what you would have predicted for the young family. But they decided to plan ahead. They started thinking not just about themselves, they started thinking about the future. Today, this morning, I have three generations present at Red Chapel today. My parents are here. Sonia's parents are here. I've got me and my family, my siblings today that are here. My parents have grandkids right now this morning that are in some of our children's environments. I'm talking about legacy. I'm talking about planning ahead. Plan ahead. You got to plan ahead. The second thing, write this down, is you got to press on. You got to press on. Not just plan ahead, but also foundational to a legacy that will last is pressing on. Pressing on in spite of adversity that is going to come against us as we seek to live out a legacy. Notice Jesus says, the wise man and the foolish man, the man that builds on the rock and the man that builds on the sand, in the end, they both suffer adversity. It rains on the just and the unjust, as the scripture says. In other words, I can promise you this in life, you're going to face adversity. Even if you're doing your best to leave a godly legacy for your family, there's going to come seasons in your life when the rain falls. Can I get a witness this morning, right? There's going to be times in your life when the wind is beating against your family and your house, right? The rain's going to come. The winds are going to lash out at your house. You've got to press on. Remember, we're thinking three generations. We can't afford to quit. We can't afford to buckle just because it's raining outside. I know that Southern California, life stops when it rains, right? Just try driving on the freeway when it rains, right? It's like Armageddon. It's apocalyptic or acropolis. It's like the end of the world is here. It's right. Listen, when the rain comes in your life, not just physically, but when the rain, that's no time to quit. We have to press on. We're trying to build a legacy. Some of you may not realize this, but your children are looking at how you handle adversity. You're leaving a legacy so that when life rains on them, they know how to stand. They know how to face adversity. Why? Because they've been handed down a legacy. They had parents that when the difficult times came, they didn't bail out on one another. Some of you today, you know what it's like. Your parents, when times got rough, they left. Or they left one another. They left their family because times got hard. They bailed out. That's not what you do when you're trying to build a legacy. You stay in. You press on. This is what it looks like. Paul says like this, said, don't get tired of doing what is good, because at the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't, you may not even see the blessing in your lifetime. You may not experience it tomorrow. It may be years. It may be generations later when the true fulfillment, the true fruit of your labor comes to pass. Paul says, if you're doing good, don't stop. Don't get weary in doing good. Because at just the right time, it might be a generation later, it might be two generations later, but there's a harvest. And so we have this analogy of construction, of a contractor building a building. And then Paul, he gives us this different illustration of a farmer that's planting. Can you imagine a farmer? He plants, he toils the ground, he plants those seeds. He wakes up the next morning, he comes out, and surely, right, there's going to be a massive harvest, and there's nothing. There's nothing. This is what happened, because here's why. Legacy takes time. It takes time. And he's put all this effort into preparing the ground. He's put all this effort into planting the seed, and now he's watering, and he's nurturing the ground. He's preparing, and day after day, and Paul says he sees nothing. There's nothing. And for some of us, it might be year after year that we're planting and we're preparing and we're going through adversity, and storms come in our life and we don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, a little flower or that tree or that fruit starts to spring up. Here's what happens to some people is they get frustrated and they pull that plant up by the root. They think, I'll just go over here because this ground's too hard. This isn't working as fast as I thought it was. And they uproot it. They move to another place. They plant it there. And life's not going at the speed that they want it to. The legacy that they're trying to build isn't happening fast enough. And they pick it up and they go. And they never stay planted. They never stay rooted. And that tree can't grow because it don't have the proper root system. This is what legacy looks like. He says, if you'll just continue doing what is right, I promise you, in due time, at just the right time, there's a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. I'm telling you, you don't just plan ahead, but you got to press on through those times where you don't see anything happening. Through those times when the storm is beating away at what you're trying to build, you have to press on. In other words, I know you don't feel like getting up every morning and going to work, but you press on. You press on. Why? Because we're building a legacy. I'm not just thinking about me and mine. I'm thinking about future generations. I'm thinking about three generations from now. Some of you, maybe you're pursuing a higher education, and it's wearisome. Sonia and I have been doing this for, God, it feels like eternity. But she's been doing this. She's been pursuing her education. And I've watched. I've watched her go through this. And it's been time constraining. It's a lot of pressure. We're still raising a family. We're still leading a church. But she decided to pursue a higher education. So I watched her go through, and she got her bachelor's degree, and she kept going. She got her master's. She's just a few months away now, thank God. She's just a few months away now from receiving her doctorate degree. And that may not sound, but some of you, you're, you can give her a hand for that. Where's she at? Here's what's amazing about that is for generations, it just wasn't common. My family, me and my siblings, we never went on and formalized our education, right? Now, watch what happens. Now, I've watched Sonia. She's paved the way to be the first one in our family to get her doctorate degree. Amazing, right? Now, watch what happens. My oldest nephew, he just graduated last year. Now it went from, man, I wonder if maybe that would be an opportunity. Now it was just expected. Like, you should have heard our conversations leading up to Brent the last few years of high school. It wasn't, hey, Brent, have you thought about going to college? That's not the conversation anymore in the young family. It was, hey, Brent, where are you going to go to college at? You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about building a legacy. So those moments, right, where Sonia's had to press on, it wasn't just for her. It was because there's generations. We're starting this conversation with Megan today. I don't like it, but we're starting it. And for the last few months, we started talking, all right, Megan, so where are you going to be going to college? When I got out of high school and I decided, well, I want to try college, I went to Valley College for a couple of years. I transferred over to Chaffey for a few years. I went to Biola. It was kind of just all over the place. I was going to school. I went to work. Megan, this is not to disparage Valley College. I'm a former alumni of San Bernardino Valley College. That's not where Megan's starting. Megan, we're asking Megan, like, where are you going? She's saying, well, I'm deciding right now between NYU, between UCLA, yeah, I'm going to go broke, between UCLA, between, but you see how the conversation shifted? It changed, right? And I'm just using higher education as an example. And I'm not saying everybody has to go on to higher education, although my kids are going to, but I'm not saying, but you see how the conversation has just shifted, right? There's a legacy. It started out 40 years ago. We was just lucky if you got a job, right? Now we're talking about, where are you going to go? It's legacy. It's something that's being built over years and years. And so you press on because there's other people that are watching you. Is this helping anybody today? Does this make sense this morning? So I know times might be rough right now, but you can't afford to quit. You can't afford. There's a future generation that's watching you. I watch people do this spiritually. You go through seasons where you feel like God's left you. God's not on your side. Like, everything that God promised you and for your future, for your family, it's not happening right now. And I've watched people bail out on the legacy that God was trying to build. They quit. And I've seen it because here's the deal. It doesn't just affect them. I watched the future generations that are affected because people didn't press on. They didn't press on. And then I've had a front row seat to watching people that in those rough times when they felt like God had abandoned them, when they felt like everything God had promised them didn't happen yet, they couldn't see it, it wasn't a reality, but they just kept pressing on. And then I've seen their generations. I've been around the church now for 40 years. So I've seen multiple generations, and I've watched those that bailed out, and then I watched those that they just kept pressing on. They just kept going. They just kept doing what was good. They didn't see the results. They didn't see the finished product yet, but they just stayed with it. They just continued to pray. They continued to be faithful. They continued to put God first. And now I've watched two and three generations later, I've watched that family be flourish. I've watched the name change. Their name means something completely different today. There's a legacy that's being built, that's being passed on. In fact, many of you here today are standing on the foundations of a legacy from a previous generation. And how about you? That challenges me to make sure that I'm leaving a legacy for my children, that my children are going to stand on a legacy that's been paved by prayer. That's what some of us are standing on today. We're standing on the legacy of generations before, their prayers, their dreams, the preparation. David said, I may not build the temple, but I'm going to prepare it for the next generation. Every detail. I'm going to make sure they've got every resource at their disposal to make sure that they accomplish everything that God's called them to do. Paul said it like this, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus. So he says, don't grow weary. And then he says, endure suffering and keep going. That's the foundation of a legacy that lasts. It's pressing on in these moments, in spite of your doubts, in spite of your suffering. The truth is, these moments will be what form the foundation of your legacy. Those hard times. Those are some of the most important moments in determining what your legacy will be. So in those times, some of you are in these times right now, in these moments, make a decision to press on. To press on, to plan ahead, to press on. Number three, write this down. In building a legacy that will last is prioritize what matters. As you begin laying a foundation for a legacy that will last, not only do you have to plan ahead, not only do you have to press on, but you're gonna have to learn to prioritize your life. Jesus said it like this. Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. When it comes to prioritizing your life, you're building a legacy, you're leaving something that lasts. Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, live righteously, and he will give you everything that you need. He's telling us to prioritize him. If you want to build a legacy, leave a legacy that will last, you've got to learn to prioritize. You've got to make Jesus first. This is what Jesus said. He's saying, you got to prioritize me, to put me first. This is an important part of the foundation of a legacy that lasts, is the constant prioritization of Jesus. Of Jesus. I want you to ask yourself this morning, are you prioritizing what matters? Here's practically how you can know that. Probably two of the best ways to look at your life is, number one, look at your calendar and see where Jesus lands on your calendar. Look where you're spending your time. Look where you're spending all of your energy. Is it structured around Jesus, or does Jesus get the leftovers at the end of the day, at the end of the week? And then look at your checkbook. Where are you spending your resources? These are the two things that are most valuable to us, our time and our treasure. And you can find out real fast where Jesus ranks in your life. If you're prioritizing Jesus by looking at where you're spending your time and your treasure. And you'll know real quickly whether you're prioritizing Jesus. We've got to prioritize what matters. This is something you need to be teaching your children. Prioritizing what matters. You need to help your kids where this just becomes second nature, that Jesus is always first. That everything else that we do, it's structured around Jesus. This is why God implemented the tithe when it came to finances. He said, you're going to bring me the tithe. You're going to bring me 10% of everything that you have. And he said, you're going to bring it to me first. Not after everything is paid and then do we have anything left? No. This is a way of prioritizing what I'm telling you. If you want to build a legacy, you prioritize. Imagine that with you. Not just if you gave God the first 10% of your money. Why don't you look at your time for a moment? Are you giving God the first 10% of your time? I knew that was going to go over really well this morning. I knew people were going to be jumping up like, wow, Pastor, oh my God, that's so amazing. I know I'm challenging you this morning, but it's because I want to see you build something that's going to last. And it starts with making. You've probably seen the illustration of the teacher that was teaching us to his class one day. And he said, these rocks represent the big things in life, the things that matter most, right? And sand, I'm using rock and sand because Jesus used the illustration of building a house. He said, sand, these represents the things that they're a little, they may be important, but they're a little less meaningful in life. Like if God is supposed to be first, like we're building a life around God, God would represent these rocks. It would be our prayer life. This would be our devotion. This would be the time that we give to building God's kingdom. This would be the time we invest in our children, making sure that they have a spiritual foundation. That's what the rocks would represent. The sand would represent things that they're meaningful, that, and they may be important, but they're of lesser value than the rocks. And the teachers he's describing to his students, he says, what happens with most people is when they're filling their life, they fill it with the things that are less valuable, the things that are not as, and they start with the things. This may be an illustration gone wrong, I'm gonna tell you right now. But you get the point, right? They start with the sand. They start with the less meaningful. And so they start their day out and they're focused on the things that are less important. They're building in their kids. They're making sure their kids are gonna be the next Major League Baseball player. I know that was gonna not feel great today. Their education, making sure that they got a great place to live. And these are important things, guys. Don't get me wrong. I love sports. I'm gonna make sure my kids have a roof over their head, all of them. And they fill all that up first, right? And they're just constantly pouring in their own life where they spend their time, their energy, their talent, their resources. Yeah, I'm making a mess up here. Somebody's got to clean this up later. Oh, thank God for the volunteers at Red Chapel, right? And they fill this, and then what happens? Then they go to put all these rocks need to fit inside, and all the big things that need to fit. And what happens is they run out of, you hear people say this, well, Pastor, man, I would love to give time to God, but I don't have time. Oh my God, I would love to help resource the kingdom of God, but I don't have enough money. You don't understand, Pastor. That's like at the end of the day, I don't have the energy to sit down with my kids and have devotion because you filled your life. You started filling your life with things that don't matter first, right? And so the teacher explains to the students, no, what we do is we start by first putting in the things that matter. We've got to make sure that before we get to the things that are less meaningful, that we first are making sure that the things that fill our daily life, the things that fill our life throughout the week, throughout the year, that those go in first, that we prioritize what matters. This is what Jesus was saying when he said, seek first and foremost the kingdom of God. You know what I've found in my life? Is that as I do that, somehow I end up having time for all the rest of it. Because not like God didn't want my kids to have a great life. Not like he didn't want my family to have a great place to live. Not that he didn't want my family to go on and have a great education. In fact, that's the truth is it's surpassed anything I could have ever imagined. Because if you seek God first, he says, I'll give you everything that you need. I'll fill your life with all of your heart's desires, I'll make a reality. But you have to prioritize what matters. I want you to think about it for just a second. It's not that there's not enough time. It's not that it doesn't fit your schedule. It's not that you don't have enough. The problem is priorities. So I just want to ask you to ask yourself today, are you prioritizing what matters?